Did you know? A huge number of older adults have some degree of age-related hearing loss, but most are not getting their hearing properly treated, which is really a shame because treating hearing loss is super important for brain health. So in this episode, I'll tell you what's most important to know and do about age-related hearing loss. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. In today's episode, I want to cover something really important for aging health and well-being, and that is the importance of treating hearing loss and why this is important for brain health. Now, I think most people know that developing difficulty with hearing is really common as people get older, especially into those later decades. But I think many people don't realize just how important it is to identify and treat hearing loss when it comes to maintaining brain health while aging. And I think people also sometimes don't realize that it really makes a difference to detect and treat that hearing loss sooner rather than later. Because in fact, if you wait too long, it can actually become quite hard to adopt hearing aids or otherwise correct hearing loss, especially if people have gotten to the point where they've developed any difficulties with their memory or thinking. So hearing loss is an issue where early action really makes a difference both for brain health and for quality of life. And that's why I want to cover it today. And specifically in this episode, I'm going to explain what is age-related hearing loss. It's also called presbycusis. I'm going to talk a little bit about how it affects brain health, what we've learned about this through research and observations. And then I'm going to talk about a few quicker ways to find out if you, in fact, have hearing loss. Many older adults don't realize they have it, actually, until it's fairly far along. So we'll talk about some options for figuring out whether this is something you need to look into more. Then I'm going to talk about your options for correcting hearing loss, if you have any. I'm going to talk about what to do if you're concerned, and I'm also going to talk a little bit about what to do if you've tried hearing aids and felt that they didn't work for you. So we'll get started with hearing loss, but before I get into that, I have a very quick request, which is if you're here, you find this interesting, or you've been finding the video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, could you please go ahead and subscribe? It would mean a lot to me. It does help me out. It helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it helps support the work that I'm doing. Another option, if you appreciate my making these videos, is to become a member of this Better Health While Aging YouTube channel. And to learn more about that, just click the join button under the video. All right, let's get on to hearing loss now. So first, what exactly is age-related hearing loss? What is presbycusis? So this type of hearing loss is generally a symmetrical progressive loss of hearing that occurs over many years. So if you wake up one day and suddenly you can't hear out of one ear or both ears, that is not presbycusis. That is a different form of hearing loss. In this form of hearing loss, it happens slowly over many years. And it almost always starts by first affecting the highest frequencies of hearing, those high-pitched sounds. And so what people might notice or what they often experience is that they have difficulty understanding higher pitched voices, especially in noisy settings. And what causes this? So this is due to a loss of sensory hair cells in the inner ear. So if you look at a diagram of the ear, we have the outer ear, which is this part, and the ear canal up to the eardrum, and then the eardrum and the little bones right past it. That's the middle ear. That's where people can get ear infections, especially children. And then there's an inner part of the ear where you have the cochlea, which is this spiral-shaped organ that has these little hair cells along the inside. And those are the ones that detect the frequency of sound. And they transmit it to a nerve that transmits it to your brain, and your brain interprets the sound. So with age-related hearing loss, we experience a progressive loss of those sensory hair cells in the inner ear, usually starting with the hair cells that are responsible for higher frequencies first, and then moving down to lower frequencies. Why does this happen? That's still an area of study, but what we know is that it definitely happens with aging. It becomes much, much more common as people get older. Men seem to be more prone to it, although it's a little unclear whether that's due to male physiology versus men tend to be exposed more to loud noises. Noise exposure definitely is a strong risk factor for it, and a risk factor for it coming on earlier as well. And then there are other medical conditions that are also associated with it coming on either earlier or more intensively. Those include cardiovascular risk factors such as diabetes, smoking, and high blood pressure. And in some cases, this type of hearing loss can also be accelerated by exposure to certain medications that are considered toxic to the ear. And then there's also genetic predisposition playing a role as well. And again, this is very, very common as people get older. So studies have estimated that when people are in their 60s, probably 30 to 40% of them are having sort of noticeable hearing loss. They may not be noticing it, but hearing loss to the point that it could be corrected. And then it just becomes dramatically more common as people get into their later years. So the first part of the 70s, it's about 53%. Of adults. That goes up to 65% of adults in the second half of their 70s, 77% of adults in the first part of their 80s, 91% of adults age 85 to 89, and a whopping 96% of adults age 90 plus. So especially if you are somebody in, you know, their 80s or 90s and you think I don't have it, well, you might be right, but but statistically, it's unlikely. Most of the time, there is some level of hearing loss there. The issue, though, is that even though this is so, so common, it's really important to not accept this as part of, as one of those normal aging things that there's nothing to do about and that can be ignored or just accepted as it is. It is very common. We should each expect that this is going to affect us as we get older. And it is something to notice and have treated, because in today's time, we have modern technologies that can treat hearing loss really effectively and bring us enormous benefits when it comes to our brain health and our quality of life. So most hearing loss can and should be treated no matter how old people are. And even if it's quite severe, we should consider treating it as well. In terms of signs and symptoms that people experience, so usually the high frequencies are affected first. So this means that usually people are affected when it comes to discerning consonants, actually. The consonants in speech are a little bit higher pitched. And so that means that people will often feel like they can hear, and they can hear, but what they're having difficulty doing is deciphering speech, like what are the actual words? And that is because the higher frequencies are being affected. People might also notice that they're having more difficulty with higher pitched voices. They might be having difficulty understanding children who have higher pitched voices and also maybe speaking quite quickly. They may have more difficulty with women's voices as well. And then they might have more, there is often more difficulty understanding when there is background noise as well. So picking out the person you're speaking to in a noisy restaurant can become much harder when somebody is experiencing this type of age-related hearing loss. This is sometimes called the cocktail party effect, where people have difficulty when they're at restaurants or if they're at a party, but they can actually hear pretty well when they're in a quiet one-on-one setting. So they may not realize that they are experiencing age-related hearing loss because they can hear okay when they're just in a quiet room with their spouse. Another symptom that affects a fair number of people is, paradoxically, hypersensitivity to loud sounds. And then some people might experience tinnitus, some kind of ringing or buzzing in the ears, or even dizziness. And now let me speak a little bit more about the relationship between hearing loss and cognitive decline. So this now has been really shown through research studies that untreated hearing loss increases the risk of developing dementia. There's a strong association of developing clinical dementia. It seems to increase the risk of clinical dementia by 2 to 5 times, depending on the severity of the hearing loss. Why is this? So first of all, if you can't hear speech really well, you have to devote extra cognitive resources to deciphering it. And that means actually less bandwidth for the rest of your brain to tend to other forms of thinking, including memory. So some of it is just, if the brain has changed already, and then you're having to decipher speech, you will actually show signs of difficulty with memory or other thinking problems earlier. Another issue is that when people can't hear very well, they tend to socially withdraw. So they go to fewer events, they might socialize less at restaurants or with people. And that social withdrawal, we know, also is bad for brain health and tends to accelerate cognitive decline. If you're also really not hearing, you have parts of your brain that are meant to be deciphering sound. And if you don't use them, they start to wither. Now, they might start working on something else, actually, that your brain needs them to do. But they can also wither. And so it's possible that significant hearing loss may also significantly contribute to faster brain atrophy as well. So for these reasons, midlife hearing loss is now considered the number one modifiable risk factor for dementia. And so it's exciting, actually, that we've identified this issue that affects lots of people that actually can be treated and probably makes a difference in their cognitive trajectory. Does treating hearing loss improve brain health? So studies are ongoing right now, but really the evidence is suggesting that it probably does make a difference, that it's not just that it helps your brain work better in the moment, but probably changes the trajectory as well. So studies right now are suggesting that using hearing aids does protect against cognitive decline. Furthermore, hearing aids, when they are working, when you wear them and they are working well enough, they definitely improve communication with other people. And so again, that facilitates social engagement. And we know that that social engagement just has so many benefits for the brain and for overall health and quality of life. And then again, using hearing aids frees up cognitive bandwidth so that you can use your brain more effectively for other aspects of thinking because you're not expending lots of energy trying to decipher hearing. So there are really lots of benefits to treating presbycusis, which again is age-related hearing loss. We believe it reduces the risk of clinical dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. And then there are other quality of life benefits. So for instance, it's definitely known that when hearing loss is treated, it decreases stress and aggravation for the partner of the person with hearing loss. We hear lots of reports of people finding it frustrating to communicate with an older person who is having hearing loss because they have to repeat themselves often or it feels like a lot of effort to communicate. So we get benefits of improved communication with, you know, your whole network of friends and family. And that means also that it becomes easier to participate in various activities, whether that is work, volunteering, socializing, learning. All of it becomes easier when our hearing is working better. Last but not least, starting treatment earlier makes correcting hearing easier as well. That said, there are some challenges that people routinely encounter when it comes to treating age-related hearing loss. So first and foremost, lots of older adults deny, ignore, or avoid their hearing loss for various reasons. So again, they may feel like, oh, I can hear fine because they do hear. They may think everyone else is mumbling or that just children are difficult to hear. Or they may be a little aware of it, think it's not a big deal, be reluctant to engage in that and consider hearing aids, which they might, you know, think are expensive or they don't want to feel old. An additional challenge is that primary care providers are not always helpful. Sometimes they are, but they may not know what recommendations to make or how to support an older adult in addressing this. And then there's the issue of Medicare coverage. So there's good and bad news when it comes to Medicare coverage. So for a long time, Medicare would cover the diagnostic audiology exam to test the hearing if there was a referral from a provider and it was for kind of like a specific reason. So those rules have been relaxed. And today, Medicare now covers diagnostic audiology testing once a year. You don't even need a referral anymore from your PCP. I was recently talking with an audiologist who was explaining this to me. This is recently as of, I think, 2023 or something like that. So it has become easier to get the diagnostic audiology testing covered by original Medicare. However, original Medicare still doesn't cover hearing aids. They don't cover the treatment of hearing loss. So the process of purchasing them, of working with the audiologist to get them fitted, adjusted, adapt to them, is not covered by Medicare. And that can create a financial barrier for people. Now, some people, instead of having original Medicare, they have Medicare Advantage, which is, you know, basically an HMO with Medicare. And some of those have better coverage for hearing loss treatment. So you'll want to check with your insurance and see what's available for you. And then many people have the perception, and it's not untrue, that hearing aids can be costly and require expert audiology assistance to function well. So this is true. And there are often some options available that I've heard about. There can be options for people who are lower income, or it can be possible to find, you know, maybe a set of hearing aids that's a little bit more affordable. And I have an upcoming video in which I go into those in more detail. But these are the challenges people often encounter. They are real. They are there. Still, I think there are just so many benefits to treating hearing loss that I really want to encourage all older adults to think about getting their hearing checked and pursue treatment if they have hearing loss. So how do you know if you have hearing loss? You may be one of those people who is not sure, or you think you're fine, but you'd like to make sure that you don't have hearing loss. Here are some signs that you might have hearing loss. First of all, if you feel like you're having trouble hearing people, or again, those circumstances that I mentioned, even if it's only in busy, noisy places like restaurants, it can be worth it to get checked out, or if it's with, you know, children or something like that. Another way to know is if your partner or family are starting to comment or complain about it. If they are having to repeat themselves often when they talk to you, or saying, you know, you don't seem to hear me anymore, it's important to pay attention to that. They may very well be onto something. Another option is to use one of a variety of available do-it-yourself hearing screens. So there are websites such as hearingloss.com and other websites that will take you through kind of a little online test to test your hearing. There are a variety of apps that are available as well, and you use them with a set of headphones to check your hearing. And then AirPods, if you have AirPods, are also now able to do a preliminary screen for hearing loss. These are all, you know, these are all preliminary tests. These are not going to give you detailed information. This is not a substitute for getting a diagnostic audiology exam. But if you're wondering whether is it even worth making that appointment, this is a place to get started. Because that is really the foundation of addressing hearing loss, is to first get a good diagnostic exam so that you know what you are dealing with. And then if you do have age-related hearing loss, which many older adults will have, then you can take steps to go about treating it. So there is more to know about getting the evaluation, but what I will do is I have an upcoming episode where I've interviewed an audiologist, and he's going to cover that in detail. So please check the description soon for a link to that upcoming episode. But for now, I want to just talk about a few more things that I think everyone should know about treating age-related hearing loss. So first of all, hearing aids help immensely, and it's important to have realistic expectations. So generally, they are not going to restore your hearing to perfect, normal, the way you were when you were young. But often they are able to improve hearing by half the loss, sometimes more, depending on the kind of hearing loss you have. And what they will do is significantly improve your communication and quality of life, provided, of course, that you get hearing aids that are a good fit for your situation, the level of hearing loss that you have, and that they're properly programmed, adjusted, and tailored so that they can do the work. Another thing to know is that hearing aids are not like glasses. Glasses, generally, you put them on and your vision should be corrected right away. Hearing aids do require an adjustment period. The brain has to sort of get used to taking in this additional input, especially if you've had hearing loss for a while. The brain has, in a way, kind of given up a little bit in certain ways, and it's just got to get used to, oh, we're getting in now this input again. Let's work with that. So you do want to account for that, and that is something that a good audiologist should be able to take you through. Usually the adjustment, especially in people who don't have cognitive impairment, can get done within about a month or so. And then last but not least, you should know that hearing aids work much, much better when they are fitted by a good audiologist. So as you'll see in the upcoming interview, there are several steps that audiologists can take to really get the hearing aids working well for a given person. And so if you don't work with an audiologist, or if you work with an audiologist who doesn't use best practices, you may not be, many people are not getting the full benefit of the hearing aids they have because of this. And so they conclude that hearing aids don't work for them, when the truth is the hearing aids could work, they just didn't get the right process that they needed to get the hearing aids working well for them. So that's something to keep in mind as well, especially if you're going to invest in buying a pair of prescription hearing aids. And then another thing to keep in mind is that it can often be harder for hearing aids to be helpful if the hearing loss is very profound and longstanding, or if people have already developed memory and thinking problems. Now, I also have another video coming up about treating hearing loss in people who have Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. They can successfully be treated. It can just be a little bit more challenging because often they may be less likely to cooperate. There can be some other challenges, which we're going to cover in that upcoming episode. So if that's your situation, keep an eye out for that episode. And then what are your options for treating hearing loss? So initially, the option is to consider one of three types of devices. That's really where we start. So going from sort of simplest, most affordable to most sophisticated, most expensive. First, there are personal sound amplification products. These are things that basically amplify the sound at all frequencies. So for instance, in geriatrics, we often use something called a pocket talker, little headphones, you know, and there's kind of like a microphone thing that the person speaking into speaks into. That's an example of one of these amplification products. And there are other ones. These are affordable. They do boost the sound, and that does help people, especially if they have mild to moderate hearing loss. So it is a starting point. And then nowadays, there are also direct-to-consumer, also known as over-the-counter hearing aids. So a couple years ago, over-the-counter hearing aids became allowed. And so now there are several options. These are more sophisticated than a personal sound amplifier. In particular, they generally can be programmed so that they amplify the higher frequencies instead of amplifying everything. And they're generally not going to be as sophisticated as a prescription hearing aid. And also, people are usually not working with an audiologist to, you know, really dial in the effect. However, these can be effective for mild to moderate hearing loss. They can be more affordable or accessible to people than prescription hearing aids. And nowadays, you know, one option that is pretty reasonably priced for what it's able to do would be AirPods Pro for people who have an iPhone. You know, that's a form of over-the-counter hearing aid that can provide some assistance to people. But really, if you really want to get your hearing loss treated and get the maximum benefit, if you want to be able to hear better in a variety of situations, including like the busy restaurant and the such, your best bet is probably going to be prescription hearing aids that are fitted by an audiologist. So this is what gives people the best performance, assuming, again, that you know, they get assistance selecting a hearing aid that's a good fit for them, and then that they the hearing aids are programmed and adjusted over a few weeks. And these can be effective, should be effective for almost all forms of age-related hearing loss, with the exception of the most profound forms. If you're dealing with really severe profound, then there are other options that that I'm not going to cover right now, things like cochlear implants and some other options, which you can learn about from an audiologist or on one of the audiology YouTube channels. So also, if you are dealing with hearing loss, although, you know, amplification and correction through a good device is your best bet, it's also important to be aware that there are certain communication strategies that also help. So this is especially important if you are dealing with somebody who doesn't have hearing aids or isn't wearing them, or their hearing aids don't work very well. And here are these strategies. And I'll post a link to a page where you can view more of them in the replay notes for this. One, you want to directly face a person with hearing loss when you are speaking. It's a good idea to say their name and try to get their attention before continuing. Look for quieter places to talk. So again, you know, the busy restaurant, a place with lots of background noise, lots of voices, is going to be very hard for that person. You want to speak clearly, distinctly, not too fast. Or, you know, if you're watching the YouTube video like me, you want to slow it down. And you especially want to avoid shouting. People sometimes have this idea that they're just going to speak louder. But the problem is that most of the time when we speak loudly or shout at someone with hearing loss, it distorts the speech and it doesn't make it easier for them to understand us. So those are some strategies to keep in mind. So if you are concerned about hearing loss for yourself or maybe for somebody else, what should you do? I really think that if you're concerned, I would recommend seeing an audiologist and getting that diagnostic testing. You can also talk to your primary care provider. Now, your primary care provider should be able to take a look in your ears, but the audiologist will look in your ears as well. And that's to make sure that there isn't anything obvious, unusual affecting your hearing. Now, one of the most common things that affects people's hearing is actually earwax. So in particular, it's when people have earwax completely blocking the ear canal. If they just have a big chunk, but it's not completely blocking, it will not affect their hearing significantly. But if it's totally blocking the ear canal, and that does happen to a certain number of older adults, that will also diminish their hearing. And so, of course, we want to remove that earwax before we test people's hearing. Or if they're totally blocked, removing that earwax is going to improve their hearing. So you do want to get checked for earwax. And just to make sure there's nothing obviously unusual affecting your eardrum, that can be done by your primary care provider or by the audiologist. And if you want to know more about earwax, I have an upcoming video about earwax removal as well. You know, that was another interview with the audiologist. And then if you are found to have, you know, hearing loss, then you really want to consider getting some kind of hearing aid or device to compensate so that you can hear better. Because correcting even mild hearing loss can improve quality of life and can protect brain health. And then you also want to be mindful that hearing loss tends to become more significant as we get older. So if you checked and in your mid-50s you were fine, that doesn't mean that at 65 you might not be having some significant hearing loss as well. Last but not least, you can take steps to protect your remaining hearing. So in particular, earplugs at a noisy event, you know, concert, if you're still going to something like that, that can be valuable as well. Now, what if you're one of those people who tried hearing aids, they didn't work, you regret it? Okay. First and foremost, I hope you'll keep an eye out on my channel for my upcoming interview with Dr. Cliff, AUD, where he explains how to get hearing aids to work properly for most people. It's really, really important information. But it is true that many people are dissatisfied with their hearing aids, and so they either return them or they end up just staying in the drawer all the time instead of being in their ears. And this mostly happens if they didn't get the right kind of audiology help with selecting the right kind of hearing aid, making sure it fits comfortably, and then having it adjusted over a few weeks so that it works well for the person. So if you've tried hearing aids and they didn't work, don't give up. If you still have the hearing aids, you can bring them to a good audiologist. Maybe someone who's not the person you worked with before. And I'll share a link in the replay notes to a site where you can look for a network of better audiologists who follow best practices. Because often people can get better performance with better fitting. They just need to go through that process with somebody who does good work. Or the audiologist might help you select different hearing aids. That might be what you need instead. And so that's what I have for right now for age-related hearing loss. This is the first in a series of episodes, so there'll be some more episodes coming up where I cover treatment in detail with the audiologist, and we're also going to cover earwax and treating hearing loss in people with Alzheimer's as well. And with that, thank you so much for watching. If you found this helpful, you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It does help more people find the channel. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, come take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points on the screen. And again, if you want to support my work, it's always an option to join as a member of the Better Health While Aging YouTube channel as well. So thank you once again. I look forward to seeing you all soon on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.